VWX, mobile.
KN4, VWA, also mobile.
You out calling today, Steve?
My once a week bus driving thing. I drive the bus from my church to the Greer, up to Blue Ridge High School, pick up the kids, and run them back and forth between the Blue Ridge Christian Learning Center. Three different bunches a day. So my day is over with all that, though. I'm headed for the barn.
Brown kids.
Now, those charges were never proven.
Is your antenna mask put up yet?
No, Mama's had me busy doing all kinds of stuff and cutting 8 acres of grass and trying to get caught up around the honeydew list. I am hoping to get on that probably about Monday or Tuesday next week, and I'm hoping that I'm going to have the base poured by Tuesday evening next week.
That's done already. You just had to put the mast up.
Put the tower, and I gotta get that hole dug in the ground for the base for the tower before I can really get that thing to tilting and getting up there the way I need it to. So, are you headed back home? Is it raining up that way? When I was headed back from Blue Ridge High School, it looked like it was real dark back in there towards 25 and up that way.
Well, I'm heading that way now. I got to go up to the Asheville Airport FedEx up there and pick up a toolbox. But it does look awful black right in front of me. I'm on 276 over here coming out of Cherrydale right now.
Yours is plenty heavy enough, but I tell you what, as big as it is on the slab sides of that thing, you still are kind of vulnerable to the wind, man. You just be careful going up through there.
I have to watch that because it'll push this truck all over the road. I'm not as heavy as you might think I am.
Be careful going up through there. Listen, everybody has one or two bad accidents during their driving career. And not due to your control, but you've already had one of yours, so you ought to be clear for a while. But just be careful out there, man.
Well, the day I got hit, but there's only so much you can do. And then the rest of it's in somebody else's hands.
Had at least 10 telemarketer calls today. It's relentless. It just doesn't let up.
Text messaging me now, since I wouldn't answer the phone.
Oh, I get that junk too. Man, I've got more block numbers than Carter's got pills.
About it is those block numbers that they're using could be anybody's number, and you may need it later.
Well, that's pirated numbers. Well, listen, I got to get this phone call going. I'll be back on you in a minute.
Hey, Skeggs, I'm monitoring on the side.
Patrick, Zenzero, TR.
Tom, how are you?
Hey, when Mr. Webster was writing a dictionary back when I was a kid, and he looked over at me, he says, "Well, I'm on the letter P, Tom, and looking at you, I think the next word's going to be perfection."
Hey, Tom, be careful what you ask for. You might just get it.
I figured you'd run off the road on that one, Patrick.
The Harbor Freight go this morning. I heard you talking about it.
Well, easier. I just bought a 3-foot airline and some fittings for it so I can make that air bubble where I can switch implements on the end of it. It's just got a thing on it to fill a tire with. I bought the smaller one because I can use it for my antenna shooter, and I can still lift it, but I can't lift the bigger one. It wouldn't be nothing to you guys, but I give the bigger one that I had to my son-in-law. But I did want to be able to change from a valve cord to a blower, like when I was blowing out the condenser on the refrigerator.
Something like that's handy to have around. I've got one at the house myself.
Sitting there eating a club cracker with some of Bernice's homemade ham salad and some 4-year-old Wisconsin cheese. And that's about as far uptown as you can get.
Pretty good, Tom. Miss Bernice sure does take care of you, and you rub it in on the radio every day.
Shoot. Well, she needs a light beer to go with it, is what it needs, I think. But my back's about a 7 or an 8 today on a scale of 10. Every time I sit down, makes it worse. But I've been kind of up and around some, although I didn't sleep very much last night. But did have the refrigerator guy come out today, and $293 later, I'm going to get a new fan motor on the lower freezer evaporator.
It's expensive to keep running anymore. I don't know. Some of it's not worth it, but that one's not too bad because refrigerators are expensive.
Be smart and get an expensive one, and hopefully it lasts like the old ones used to, but they just don't. They just don't make them like they used to. They are supposedly more efficient, but I don't know about that, Patrick, because they still have defrost cycles, and so that involves heaters, like this this blower fan on that lower evaporator. It was all iced up, and the evaporator behind it wasn't, so that means that the defrost cow rod is working. But the, ironically, that little fan has a heater on it. I didn't look at it closely. I will when he takes it out, because he had to order the part, and it's in Columbia, be about 2 days. I was surprised they had a heater on a little old plastic fan.
Close to the evaporator, it might freeze up also, and it'll help push warm air across it. KO4HKX.
In fact, that's exactly what happened. It did freeze over, and then it starts going clunk, 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 clunk on the fan, and it just drives you nuts. And that didn't have very far to go, Bob said, with me, but it's still annoying. Kind of like Bob, but I got him this morning a couple of times. ND7J was out on the road. But anyways, I'm glad to be getting it fixed. That was the service call, which is about $80. And then the fan. They got to make money, as you well know. You have to stock those things, pay insurance on yourself, on the truck, you know, gasoline, all that stuff, so I'm not complaining.
I don't realize what it takes to make money anymore with all the regulations and taxes and insurance and everything you got to have to do it legally and a business license and all that mess.
Keeping track of it and taxes and bookkeeping and all that stuff. When I went through a refrigeration school, they said the rule of thumb was you get a price on the part and then you triple it. That's the only way you could survive.
But I know working on a car, you can't do that or you'll be in trouble.
Even at triple.
Customers checking prices on stuff and the aftermarket auto parts stores will sell the walk-in customer at the same price a lot of times. I run into that a couple times when I had my shop. That's how come I quit using them, or one reason.
And now I had a little bit of a sight noise here by the name of Bernice. Actually, it was more me. Tell me that last one again, Patrick.
Well, let's say I go to the parts store, I buy a wiper blade, it costs me $10. I charge the customer $15, let's say $20. They go down there and they find out that I can buy it for $10, and then they're mad about it because I didn't give them my price on it. But they can go buy it themselves for that price. In the aftermarket stores, you got to watch that.
But I tell them, well, there's the door, and you can use your gas to go get it and pay for it, and I wouldn't be bothered with it.
When I had my shop, I just started telling everybody, if you bring your own parts, I'm not working on it. There's the door. And I don't use aftermarket parts anymore unless I absolutely have to. They've gotten to where the quality on them is not what it needs to be. Because they get tolerances that it might work here on this vehicle. It may also fit over here, but it's a little out of spec, but it'll still work. And then they'll sell it for that, and that causes you all kinds of headaches.
You mean like a repair part for your truck?
Yes, sir. I use an O2 sensor, for example. They have certain tolerances they got to be in for certain vehicles, even in the same manufacturer. Well, just because it'll fit that hole, some of the aftermarkets will say, well, this tolerance is close enough to this one. We'll just go ahead and market it at that it'll fit that too. And then that causes me problems down the road trying to diagnose why the check engine light's still on and it's running bad. Well, that was my problem.
Understand what you're talking about. And whenever you're dealing with stuff like rhodium and palladium and stuff like that that's in some of these parts nowadays, it's expensive, so they're going to cheat you in every way possible. Yeah, I've had to replace oxygen sensors before. It's funny, but they can make an engine run pretty rough. I used to have one in my old Dodge that was up in the intake manifold. It wasn't an anti-knock. I forget what it was. But it was pretty bad about going out. And I think what it done was adjust the air gas ratio to keep things within the stoichiometry spec.
My mom's having to watch this wreck getting ready to happen. The car in front of me wasn't paying attention to the car in front of him.
Operating procedure down here. Yeah, I was just remarking I used to have one to go out in the, I think it was in the intake manifold, wasn't it? Oxygen sensor. And it wasn't anti-knock. I can't remember what it was. But I've changed out such items before, and they'll drive you up the walls trying to diagnose them. But I guess nowadays with these code readers, they're at least probably 70% right most of the time. I guess it would be a guess on my part.
No, I won't. You know, code reader, or the computer that you diagnose the car with, everybody thinks, oh, you just plug it up and it tells you what's wrong with the car. It's not that simple. I wish it was. It would make my life a lot easier when I was turning wrenches. All it does is give you a code, and then you got to go with that code and verify the symptoms and the system that's giving that code. So now you got to diagnose that system for yourself to find out what's actually wrong with it.
Understand that well. Yeah. My neighbor had one that I'd never heard of here a while back, and I probably told you, but he had to go up in Indiana and pick up his daughter. She likes to go joyriding at times on her time off and just goes anywhere. And her car would only creep at 10 miles an hour in this crawl mode, and I'd never heard of that before, but I guess it's not uncommon. She has one of the cheaper Toyotas. Normally, Toyotas are pretty trouble-free, but you know what, that doesn't apply 100% of the time to any automobile.
Maybe it will break. If it didn't, I wouldn't have a job.
I get to hear some good ones at times. Well, I'll tell you, with the price of things nowadays, unless you got a good technician, if he's a parts changer, man, that can really cost you down the line. I've seen guys do that before and just basically rebuild the thing, trying to find it one at a time. I don't like that. I like to know what the problem is and fix it. But you know what? God didn't make anything perfect, I don't think, and that isn't always possible.
Sometimes you just got to narrow it down to one or two and take the best guess you can and go from there. So, I mean, I've been there several times because if I tear the engine on down, I can't run it to verify the problem, so I got no way of knowing. So I just got to go with education and hope for the best.
Some crackers here in my mouth, but excuse me for that. My neighbor's got a 67 Camaro. And he's tried to find out what kills the battery. And it'll run for several weeks sometimes. And other times, he'll just go out there to get in the car and the battery's completely dead. And he's changed about everything there is to change. And, well, he read on the internet the other day that it had to be the horn relay. And I said, Tim, I said, bring me the horn relay. And so I checked it with everything that you could possibly check it with, including high voltage insulation breakdown tester even. And I checked right. I checked it dynamically with power on it. Worked fine. The points in it were fine. You know, they got those little tabs on them. You can bend them back and get in there where you can see the relay actually work. There was no smoke. There was no arcing or sparking. And I told him, I said, Tim, it ain't the horn relay. And he said, oh, there's just been post after post after post on this blog, I guess you call it, about guys having trouble with that in a 67 Camaro. And so he went and bought a new horn relay. Worked like a champ. And he just laughed. Well, guess what? About a week or two later, he come back over and he says, you're right, Tom. Ain't nothing wrong with the horn relay.
It's a fairly cheap and easy to replace part, KO4 HKX.
They can run the battery down overnight. It's got to be drawing 7, 8, 9 amps or so per hour just to suck that battery down. I mean, I think it was a 750 amp per hour battery. You'd think, what I'm thinking is it's a high resistance short to ground, so it's not totally shorted out. It doesn't blow fuses. He's checked all the fuses and the fuse block and all that. And, but it's intermittent, Patrick. And, it just has to be something that as you go down the road, and of course, he's got 600 horsepower, and it's vibrating, and something's going to ground on him. So he says, now he's going to change the whole wire harness, but you never guess what a wire harness for that costs.
I can only imagine. I know they're not cheap, but you're talking probably several $1,000 for that thing.
$700 for a total wire harness for it. I'd say it'd be fairly simple, a 67.
Too bad, but you never know. Getting some of those tight places on those older cars under them dashes can be pretty interesting.
I'm sure you've seen the printed circuit board backs of dashboards, haven't you, before? It could even be back there, but it looks like if it was, it would have melted it and blow the fuse. But, I had one of those on my old Nissan 86 and a half Nissan truck. I never had seen anything like that, and the light bulbs would screw into it and everything else, but it was like in a plastic, flexible printed circuit.
I've seen the back of those printed circuit boards quite a few times in dashes, replacing bulbs and other components. So, yeah, I've been there quite a bit. But it could be a lot of other things that cause a problem, too. I mean, lots of things. Especially if, let's say he's upgraded to electronic ignition. That could be the problem. Intermittently, keeping the coil energized and causing the problem.
Yeah, coil. normal coil in the old days, 5, 6, 7 amps. But I think he's checked that out. I think he pulled a fuse out of it. And yes, he has a new $2,000 electronic fuel injection system on it.
You know, anything electrical could cause that problem pretty much, or combination thereof, a few of them.
Yeah, it would seem to me like that that was the case, that, I don't know, you wouldn't have blown a fuse necessarily. Just energizing the primary on that coil. I didn't even know it had a coil. If it, this is a great big ignition system on the side there. But I thought, you know, nowadays, yeah, they didn't even know spark plugs that are visible. I mean, it's just amazing the way these engines look nowadays. But this is a 67. But I know he's got a lot of money in this, and everything in there is pretty much new. And, man, it runs like nobody's business. And, it's got one of those things you plug in and then set all the parameters on it while it's running, and everything's perfect. Then you go out there the next day, and the battery would be dead.
Where do you save that program, then? Because you're going to have to reinstall it.
Well, in my years, I used to work on a lot of forklifts and motorized pallet jacks, and they were all electronic drives and that, electrical SCR drives and such. And if you ran a car battery down, or one in the forklifts or something, if they ran down, oh, let's say, when you checked them with a meter and they were below about 8 volts, normally they wouldn't suck out of it.
They won't if you let them discharge all the way like that, or most of the way. I've had several of them that wouldn't come back on these diesel trucks. And you don't put just one in, you put them in as a pair.
No Buick, he calls them a buck. In his buck, you could drive it down to Webb City, Missouri, which was about 35 miles, and went just fine. And but once you got there, if you tried to restart it, it wouldn't start. And they looked and looked, and come to find out, the starter had a whining in it, and when the engine got hot, the whining in the starter would go to ground. I don't remember if it run the battery down or not, but it sure wouldn't start until I changed that starter out. Now, Tim's got one of those brand new type starters, and they got rare earth samarium cobalt magnets in them, and they're little bitty things, but they put out the same amount of torque and horsepower. But heck, that'd be, you know, 100 and some amps. But if it was a Dragon starter or something, and it wouldn't, and he's got one of those, I call them a one-wire alternator, if you know what I mean.
It is, and it can cause a draw, too, where it will kill a battery. One of the diodes in there will be bad or something, intermittently shaking on the board.
Change the alternator. But he was aware of that, and I told him about it. I said, they put those in there in a cluster, and if one of them's bad, because a lot of people don't know it, but an alternator's three-phase, and they got 6 diodes in them. And if one of them goes out, like you say, it can be a parasitic draw.
Got on newer cars, it causes even more fun, because then it throws AC voltage into the system, and these new computers don't like that at all. By the time I'm going to have to hop off here, I'm getting up here to the black hole in Henderson County. So I'm going to have to say 7-3s for now. KO4HX, and I'll be clear on your final. Have a good evening, Tom.
Okay, Patrick. Enjoyed the ride. You be safe out there. KO4HKX and 0GR clear.